That's it. It started already. This is the fourth Tikkun Midos Shir by Rav Zvi Miller being given on Sunday night before Rosh Hashanah.
Start with the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tet Zayin, Amud Beis. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Kruspedam or Rabbi Yochanan, Shilosh Sforim Niftachim Rosh Hashanah." Famous Chazal, three books are open at Rosh Hashanah: Echad Shel Roshoyim Gemurim, one of Roshoyim Gemurim, Echad Shel Tzadikim Gemurim, Echad Shel Beinonim. Tzadikim Gemorim Nichtivin V'Nichtamim Le'Alter L'Chaim. The Tzadikim Gemorim, the total righteous, are written and sealed immediately for life. Rishoyim Gemorim Nichtivin V'Nichtamim Le'Alter L'Misa. Whereas the Rishoyim Gemorim are written and sealed immediately for Misa. Benonim Tuluim Yomdim Mirosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. Those of indeterminate status, chetzi chetzi, the benonim, it's put on suspension, on hold from Rosh Hashanah ad Yom Kippurim. Zachu nichtavim l'chaim. If they do tshuva, in other words, nichtavim l'chaim on Yom Kippur. Lo zachu nichtavim l'misa. Okay, that is the Chazal. So, Tosfos says that this Chazal is not talking about life and death in terms of is a person going to live or die, even though that's the basic understanding of how we approach Yom Kippur, I mean Rosh Hashanah. Yom Adin, will a person be granted a year of life or not? Says Tosfos, this Chazal of Rabbi Yochanan here is talking about Olam Haba. Will he be Olam Haba, or will he go to Gan? Will he be Zeichet for Nitzchias or not? That's what Tosfos says. So, immediately we see that Rosh Hashanah, at least according to this Chazal, is not only about whether a person will live or die in the coming year, it's also a determination of will he earn a share in the world to come, or not. And now the Vilna Gaon in the Bira Gaon also explains it, and he says exactly like Tosfos, and he explains why this position is expressed, because as we say in the Machzer, Barosh Hashanah Nichtavim U'Biyom Kippurim Nichtamim. The writing, the sentence is written on Rosh Hashanah, and it's sealed at Yom Kippur. But this Chazal is saying for the Rishoyim Gemorim, and for the Tzaddikim Gemorim, they're written and sealed already on Rosh Hashanah. It contradicts what we say. And really, it's a different Chazal. There's another Chazal that says, which is on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, it's also Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yochanan says that the power of tshuva can mevatel, can nullify a gezar din. So Gemara says, well, when is that talking about? So he says, if the person is shav bein time, what shav bein time? Bein Rosh Hashanah, when it was nechtav, and Yom Kippur, when it's nechtav. So we see there's a separation between the writing and the sealing. Rosh Hashanah is written, Yom Kippur is sealed. And that's simply talking about everybody, because there the Gemara makes no distinctions about Rishoyim, Beilonim, Tzaddikim. It's all one category. So, says the Vilna Gaon, therefore we see there are two dinim that take place in Rosh Hashanah time. One is the din that we always thought was the din, will the individual be granted another year to live in this world, Olam Hazeh, or not? And the second one is talking about his status in the next world. Will he inherit a place, a share in Gan Eden or Gehenna? Both didn't take place. This is what the Vilna Gaon says. Both judgments take place. A person is judged regarding his life in this world as well as his life in the next world. So that intensifies the significance by an infinite degree of what's taking place on Rosh Hashanah. It's not just his din, which is severe enough and scary enough, whether a person is going to live or die for the following year in this world. He's also judged whether he's going to be a ben olam haba, in other words, Gan Eden or Gehenna, takes place also on Rosh Hashanah.
How does that then take place every year? The olam haba, if you're going to live this year, so your meisim this coming year will help you in olam haba, or will not help you? Meaning, if you're going to live or die in olam haba, that makes sense. In the coming year, you're going to live or you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're talking about Olam Haba, so you're going to live this year and you're going to go to Olam Haba this year, but what about next year? You have a new din.
Okay, it's a good question. And as it is explained, it means that on every Rosh Hashanah, a person is judged again. Klapi, concerning his din in Olam Haba. This Rosh Hashanah, the individual is judged, and the sentence is passed and sealed. What will be his share in the world to come? Gan Eden or Gehenna? And that stays for the whole year. And there's a nafkamina on how Hashem is meyaches to him during the year based on that din. Okay. But the following Rosh Hashanah, it can change. But again, the fact that it's written and sealed, that's talking about his din for the next world, that's only for Tzaddikim Gemurim or Rishoyim Gemurim. Beinonim, Tuluyim Beyondim, May Rosh Hashanah Ad Yom Kippurim. The Beinonim are like the din of the Beinonim, Klapi, the din of Olam Haba, is like everybody else's din concerning Olam Hazeh, which means that during the course of the 10-day period between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, their deeds can affect the din, do affect the din. So if they're Beinoni and they change their deeds, so then they will be granted either life in this world, klapi that din, or Gan Eden, klapi the din of Olam Haba. However, there is a very important distinction in the Lashon of the Gemara between these two Chazals. By the din of Olam Haba, the next world din, it says, im zachu, if the person has the merits, if he assembles the merits needed, assuming he's a Beinoni, because if he's a Rosh Gamor, so the din is written and sealed on Rosh Hashanah, and it's irreversible until the following Rosh Hashanah. If he's a Tzadik Gamor, the same thing, that's klapi his din in Olam Haba. On Rosh Hashanah, it's a Tzadik Gamor, or Rosh Gamor, on Rosh Hashanah, it's written and sealed, and it's irreversible. However, if he's a Beinoni, so this is Im Zachu, if he so merits, during the 10 days of Tshuva, so then, on Yom Kippur, he's granted a share in the world to come. Im Zachu.
The din is only for 1 year?
It's only for 1 year. Absolutely.
Temporary din.
Yes. At the end of the year, Hashem judges him and decides, is he a ben olam haba or not?
Even if you're, whether you are or not a ben olam haba, it's almost, until you pass on, it's irrelevant. It's not irrelevant in terms of that chances are you'll continue the same way your same behavior.
Right.
But in theory, though, you could say that it's irrelevant, because if you live to 120, so 119 years, you could be been Olam Haba in the last year.
From that side, it's true, but from the side of motivating a person, it's very significant. Because if a person is classified as a Rasha, klapi the din of Olam Haba, it's a very serious significance. And how Hashem is medyaches him to him during the course of that year, Hashem will medyaches him as a Rasha, which means he will lack sekta de shemaya, he'll lack all kinds of blessings, as for shalom, if he's classified as that. So it's a tremendous incentive as we approach Rosh Hashanah that we don't want to be classified in any way, no matter what took place during the course here. We don't want to be classified as a Rasha, so therefore we're going to be working really hard that even before Yom Kippur, coming into Rosh Hashanah, we better work really hard not to be classified as a Rasha, because that's frozen for the whole year. And that will determine how Hashem is Midyachis to us. This question, your question, is asked by Rav Aaron Cutler. And the answer that he gives, although he says it's only possible, he's not sure it's the right answer, but if he said it's good enough for us, right? He said that every person has four malachim that influence him. And if he's a Rasha, so the four malachim are negative influences, and it's very hard for him to shake it. It's very hard for him to liberate himself from their influence. So therefore, if he's classified as a Rasha, it's true. Theoretically, he could get out of it, but it's very, very difficult. He's under the gravitational field of this negative influence. But the important point to remember is, even though we're definitely afraid of that, the Gemara says it's better to be classified as a Meshuggah than as a Rasha. Gemara says that. So nobody wants to be in this box. And the Gemara tells us, halachically, we should all consider ourselves as Benoni. So we don't have to worry about it in the sense that maybe we're a Rasha, but in a Musar sense we do. Because we know that, are we really a Benoni? Well, that's a big suffix if we're really a Benoni. But halachically, we classify it as a Benoni. But in terms of the MS, in terms of who we are, we better worry that we're not in that category. What were you going to say?
I just want to say, in terms of what he was mentioning, that it's signed and sealed on during this period of time. His actions throughout the year, the person's actions throughout the year, are leading up to his
being for the coming. Olam Haba?
Olam Haba? Saying that you have your deen.
Right.
On Rosh Hashanah.
For Olam Haba.
Right. And then. What happens if he was asking throughout the year a person to make tshuva and so forth? But that's already beating.
You're right. So Rav Aaron Cutler answered. He answered. And he says, he's not sure of the answer. It's a very difficult answer. But he said, most likely, once he's classified as a Rasha, it'll be very hard for him to do tshuva. That's what he's answering. Theoretically, it could happen. Theoretically, he could do tshuva and kona olam haba. But he said, practically speaking, because since he's classified as a Rasha, and there's an influence on him, it's very difficult to break that mold. That's what he said. But I explained, that's talking about the reality. But we have a halachic right, an obligation, the Torah tells us, to view ourselves as a Benoni. So we have to fear that Chas v'Shalom, we shouldn't be categorized in the Shemaim as a Rasha, because of all the implications, what that means in terms of this particular Chazal or in general. But halachically, we view ourselves as a Benoni. A Benoni, as it says, Im Zahu, to learn beyond the Ben Rosh Hashanah and Yom, Im Zahu, so then the Kono, Olam Haba, and the next world. That would be the din. But pay close attention to the language. There's a distinction in the language. By this Chazal, which we're saying, which Rav Aaron Cutler and Vilna Gaon and Tosfos also is talking about, the din of Olam Haba. Yes, we're talking about something very severe over here. It says Imzachu. What's the significance? What's the connotation of Imzachu? If they do more mitzvahs, they aggregate, assemble more mitzvahs during the 10 days of tshuva, so then that'll tip the scale and they'll get the proper din to be a ben gan eden, ben olam haba, imzachu. However, by the other chazal, which was a straight split, there's the writing is on Rosh Hashanah, and the sealing is on Yom Kippur, which we said that's talking about whether a person will live or die in olam hazeh. There, so then Rabbi Yochanan came in and he said, but the gezerah, in other words, the writing can be changed, the gezar din can be nullified. How? Im shav bein time, if they did tshuva between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, between the gezar din and the chatima, the sealing. What's he mean shav? If he does tshuva, so he says only tshuva can do it. So look at the distinction when it comes to changing the din for a Benoni who, whether he's going to get Olam Haba or not, is in question. It says Im Zachu, which means if he stacks up mitzvahs, as long as he does mitzvahs, tefillin, tzitzis, ches, whatever he's doing, stacking up mitzvahs in the Seret Yemei Tshuva, then he goes from a Benoni to the Tzaddik, and he's Zoyche for Gan Eden. He'll have a din, he's a Ben Olam Haba. But concerning the din of what? Olam Hazeh, whether he's going to live or die, there's only one thing that can save him. He can stack up 1,000 mitzvahs, it's not going to help. He has to do the mitzvah of tshuva, which is also the Rambam, by the way. Only tshuva. Only, not chesed, nothing else. Only the mitzvah of tshuva. My question, why is that? How come when it comes to Olam Haba, he's a Benoni, the more mitzvahs he does, it helps him tip the scale to a tzaddik. But a Benoni concerning the din of Olam Hazeh, only one thing can help him, that's tshuva. Not stam mitzvahs. Only the mitzvah of tshuva. That's the distinction which is made. This question is also asked by Rav Aaron Cutler. Does anybody have any ideas? Kind of alluded to it. Give me a chance to think about it. The question clear? Should we repeat the question? The question? You got the question. The question is clear. Okay. You don't have the question. The question is as follows. Concerning the din of Olam Haba, we have two din, the din of Olam Haba and the din of Olam Hazeh. Will a person gain a life in the eternal world? Will he gain another year in this world? Right. Now we're just, forget about Sadeh Gamor Rosh Hashanah. We're only talking about a Benoni, because that's the only nafkamina right now. A Benoni. So when it comes to a Benoni, we said, in terms of his din of the next world, so if on Rosh Hashanah he's considered, he has the din of a Benoni, indeterminate status, which means he's 50-50, so his judgment will not be sealed until Yom Kippur. So he has the 10 days of tshuva to do something. So what does he have to do? It says imzachu, which means as long as he stacks up mitzvahs, assembles mitzvahs, he'll become tzaddik, and he'll get, for the eternal world, he'll be a ben olam haba. But when it comes to the din of whether he's going to live or die, if he's a Benoni, there's only one thing that can move out to the gezerah, im shavu, tshuva. Why is that? How come when it comes to Olam Haba, any of the mitzvahs works, any of the 613 works to make him a tzaddik, from a Benoni to a tzaddik? As long as he stacks the mitzvahs, he's now the din of a tzaddik. But when it comes to Olam Hazeh, to gaining a life in this world, there's only one mitzvah, and that's tshuva.
In both cases, it's a Benoni, and in both cases,
basically it's a Benoni.
And in both cases, Rabbi during the 10 days.
Yes. Exactly.
Well, the difference is whether it's affecting Olam Haba or Olam Hazeh.
Yes.
Let's say, possibly, if we're put in this world to earn a reward, our excuse, that's why it shouldn't be degrading.
Right.
So, for Olam Hazeh, if you're not doing anything to earn a reward, game's over. Someone says, if you're not playing, I'm going to go play with someone else. The whole point is to earn reward to God bless Hashem. So if you see that you are working on yourself, working to your chesed, to increase your
as long as you're stacking it, mitzvahs, you're working.
Right, if you're not going to put forth the effort, you have the past year to work as to do things, you haven't done it, I'm not going to give you the extra time.
Okay, that's an approach. It's a logical approach.
How to approach it on the side. But on the other side, the point is to have a ketchup and go to Boruch. And this is the abode of this time of year. And by ignoring the central purpose of this time of year, then you're ignoring the ketchup and go to Boruch. So it's kind of in the bottom of what you're doing. So it's not the reason you're doing it.
Okay. That answer, by the way, is given by Rav Yitzchak Blazer. In the Koch Be'or, the Sharadim. That is one of the answers here. Any other possibilities? Okay. Rav Aharon Cutler, Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Bluff, answers it the following distinction. He says that when it comes to, let's start with Olam Haba. When it comes to Olam Haba, when does the din take place? The final din takes place on Rosh Hashanah. That's when he's decided whether he's going to be in Ben Olam Haba or not. So therefore, if he is on Rosh Hashanah classified one way or the other, either Ben Olam Haba or not, it's final to the next Rosh Hashanah. If it's a Rosh Hashanah or a Tzadik Gomer, it's final to the next Rosh Hashanah. Whereas, I have to go back and forth to get the distinction, see it clearly. Whereas, concerning the din of whether you're going to live or die, that actually takes place on Yom Kippur. Since the Gemar Din takes place on Yom Kippur, so in other words, in terms of Olam Haba, it's already finished at Rosh Hashanah. It's already finished. And he's going to stay that way till next year. That's the only time he can change it, if he's a Rosh Hashanah or a Tzadik Gomer. But in terms of Olam Hazeh, of his life, whether he's going to have another year or not, there the din, the final din, doesn't take place until Yom Kippur. The door is still open until Yom Kippur. Now we understand the distinction. Tshuva versus other mitzvahs. It comes out we have here from three yesodes, three fundamental principles come down from this. Concerning his din of Olam Haba, so if he's zeiche, so that means he has to do a lot of mitzvahs. That's dependent on mitzvahs. In terms of his din of Olam Hazeh, whether he's going to live or die, that's dependent on tshuva. Okay. So it comes out, a person basically has two lives, his physical life and his spiritual life. His physical life is this world, whether he's going to live or die for the coming year, and his spiritual life is for eternity. What will take place in terms of eternity? Simply, both of those lives are being judged on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. That's what's taking place. So therefore, Hashem puts the person in a position, if he has the awareness of what's taking place, that he has to do tshuva with all of his heart. Because his life, both his physical life and his eternal life, is at stake. Whether it's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, whether the din is, it doesn't make a difference. One is for the physical life and one is for the spiritual life. Both the dinin, both his existence as a living being, what's going to take place with him in this dimension and in the eternal dimension, is on the line. Why does Hashem make it that way? Can't he just do Olam Hazeh or Olam Haba? The answer is because the whole purpose of Yom Kippur is cleansing, forgiveness, atonement. That's Chesed Hashem. As the Gemara says, the best day of the year is Yom Kippur. Because if we are forgiven on Yom Kippur, not only are we forgiven, not only might we be granted another year of life in this world, and maybe we, B'zrat Hashem, we get the din of eternity for the next world, but we know for every avera that a person does, there is severe accountability, which is when? In the next world. If he takes advantage of Yom Kippur and goes through the cleansing process, which means tshuva, because Yom Kippur is only machapir with tshuva. If a person goes through the Yom Kippur experience with fasting and all the chamesh inuyim, but he doesn't do tshuva, Yom Kippur is not machapir. So Hashem puts us in a place, your life is at stake. Your physical life, whether you're going to live another year, and your eternal life, whether you're going to get a ben olam haba. If we would have the hergish of that, it would resonate inside. The tshuva that we would do, we would transform into another person. Why does Hashem want us to do such tshuva, shaking us up for eternal life, for physical life? Because the more tshuva we do, the more forgiveness, it's chesed Hashem, the more forgiveness we will achieve, we will be granted, Hashem will bless us with, on Yom Kippur. So he shakes us up to the core as much as he possibly can, if we're sensitive to the shaking up, to the life on the line, for all eternity in this world, your whole life, life itself, if we're sensitive to it, if we feel it, we will do an amazing, tremendous amount of tshuva and Yom Kippur, Kabbalahs and tshuva, which the result will be that the accountability that we had for the mitzvahs that we did not do and the avers that we committed will be forgiven and then will be cleansed in the next world, which is the greatest, most astounding transaction or achievement, attainment that a person is invaluable. You know, a person will give anything up to save himself from the accountability in the next world. So Hashem sets up the whole Yom Kippur experience is only to save us from the accountability in the next world. So how does Hashem get us to move? He makes it, we're accountable, our life is on the line, both in this world and the next world. One of the yisodos of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is, we pray, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Zachreinu L'chaim. So we say it in the Machzor, we say it many, many times during the course of davening. So does anybody really feel like they're praying for their life? Let's talk about life in Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. Nobody is crying out to Hashem like they're praying for their life. Because it doesn't hit us. We don't have the sensitivity. We're not spiritually awake or alive. But if we understood what's taking place, then when we said Zachrin L'chayim, we're literally fighting for our life. Like you have a person who's in a Sakana Nefashos. He's literally fighting for his life. That's what's taking place. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. As they bring down by David HaMelech, when Shaul was trying to kill him, because he had kin of David HaMelech, as the Chazal and Pesukim talk about. And David was running away from him, so he hid in the cave. It was pitch black, and Shaul came into the cave. He didn't know David HaMelech was in the cave. And David sees him. And in 1 second, he could kill him. He could kill Shaul and get rid of his enemy. But what does David do? He takes his sword, cuts off a piece of the garment of the king, of Shaul. And then he sends it to him afterwards, saying that if I wanted to, I could have killed you. You see that I'm not your enemy. And Shaul HaMelech said, that's right. He understood that David HaMelech wasn't trying to kill him, he wasn't his enemy. And it made movement in the relationship. Big movement. So you think David HaMelech would say, that's great. I accomplished Shalom. David HaMelech had charata for the rest of his life. It says it in the Psukim. Why did he have charata for the rest of his life? Because he said it was a bizayon to the Melech. It was a disgrace to the king that I cut off part of his garments. I had made Shalom. I was good for David HaMelech. He was a lot healthier now because Shaul wasn't going to try to kill him so much anymore. You know, he's a Bezion. He's Malchus Hashem. He's the king of Israel. He can't cut off his piece of his garment, no matter what reason why. So Rav Aaron Cutler learns from that an amazing application. Yisrael Mechuva, Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur is a Gilui Malchus Hashem. Hashem is right here, close to us, seeing everything that we do. We're talking into his ear. He's sitting at our table. He's in the shir. He's in the shul. He's in your house. He's in the car. Every place you go, he's next to you, closer than your friend. He's right there. He's right with us. It's Gilui Malchus, if you think about it. Whether we're aware of it or not, that's what takes place. So Rav Aaron says, if we don't exploit the opportunity of Hashem being next to us and cry out for our life and do tshuva with all of our hearts, because the Melech is here, says Rav Aaron, that's a bizayon to the Malchus. Why did he come here? To be ignored? So we shouldn't relate to it. We were talking about politics. Whatever, I don't want to say all the things that we shouldn't be doing. You get the point. The Malchus is Gali. Hashem is. That's what he's saying. Relate to it. Take advantage of it. Cleanse yourself. Change yourself. So now comes to the point. There's two paths to change. One path is the person tries to change himself as much as he can, a little bit, which is one approach. And it's a very important approach. But we have to also know that the amount of Siyata Deshamayit that's in the air, it's in the atmosphere during the Yesered Yemei Tshuva, a person can transform himself to a total tzaddik in the year to come, during those days. Transformation can take place. Where do you see such a thing? You know, I'm going to transform myself from what I am to be tzaddik gamur. It says yes. The amount of Siyata, if Hashem is here and he creates Gilui Malchus Hashem and the great light of Rosh Hashanah and all the Siyata Shemayim, all the dinim that take place, and his mom is here next to you, and he doesn't want you to do tshuva, he doesn't want you to become a tzaddik,